coming to you guys live from Time Warp Comics and Games in beautiful downtown Cedar Grove, New Jersey. Hey everybody, this guy over here,
Jason Brown,
and I'm Steve Strangio. Welcome to Super Action Smash. Pwah, pwah, pwah. How's your finger doing, by the way? Good?
No.
Doesn't
work.
No, it doesn't work. All right. We'll be starting a GoFundMe campaign for Jason's finger.
To get me a robot hand. We'll just take the whole thing off. Might as well.
Let's do it. What the hell, man?
Yeah, right?
You're crazy.
I feel like robotics is far enough that I can get like a cool like cyborg-esque hand.
You
right?
should. You should. Yeah. That'd be freaking
Justice
awesome.
League's coming out. Maybe they'll like, we can do like a cross promotion with Justice League. They make me like half cyborg. That'd be cool.
Justice League finger.
Yeah. I'd be into that.
We'll be talking about Justice League and other stuff. But you have a question, I understand, for me.
I do. I believe you saw Guardians 2 recently.
I did see Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Finally.
Before we jump into our first story, I want to tell you more about that wacky thing.
What'd you think? What are your thoughts?
Really liked it.
Did you?
Big time. It was true. Like, you know.
We got fans here.
We got fans over here.
We got fans of the Guardians.
Comic book store. Groot, baby Groot, was, I am Groot, and we were just saying that constantly the entire
scene
time.
Stealer.
And I'm not going to say what it is, but in the post-credits watch for a Groot thing, it's hysterical, and it sets up the third one. It's pretty awesome.
When he kills everyone, right?
No, that's not right. That didn't happen.
I ruined it.
Oh, no. I like that. I was said to my wife during it, I said, like, this almost feels, you know, for me, because it's backwards in the Facebook Live thing, but in the YouTube thing, I'll be reversing the angle. Big fan, as you know, of Army of Darkness, and it's like comedy and adventure.
Yeah.
And they are walking that perfect fine line of comedy and adventure.
Yeah,
you know, and
I
it made
that.
Me laugh out loud in several things, especially the opening sequence.
Loudly.
We went to go see it at this place called, I'm going to give them a shout out. It's called iPick.
Whoa.
It's in Jersey, and it's almost like you have your own little personal two-person suite.
Really?
And you get food delivered to you, you get beer delivered to you, and, you know, there's nobody kicking the seat behind you. There were a couple of D-bags in front of us who were...
See,
you know,
there you go. Was the waiters?
No, it wasn't the waiters. Waiters are actually really cool. I've gone to some of these dine-in movies where the waiters just suck.
I can't do it. I can't do the dine-in movies.
You can't?
Such a purist when it comes to movies. I go into the zone. Mm-hmm. I get tunnel vision. And anything just around me, like, I hear, like, I have that thing where I can't listen to people eat. It just makes me want to blow my brains out.
Okay.
When I hear people chew.
That would ruin the movie if you blew his brains
out. They're masticating. No, come on, get out of here.
Look it up if you don't know what that word means. It isn't what we think it is.
It's not what you think it is.
Yeah. It's not Pee Wee Herman.
Whoa.
Something different.
Wow. That was a reference.
Two guys who got shot in the back of the head. You know the old joke. Lincoln and the guy who sat in front of Pee Wee Herman.
Get out of here.
It's an old joke.
Get out.
But Pee Wee is still an amazing performer. We forgive you, Pee Wee. Don't worry about it. Except for the guy who sat in front of you. I love that it walked that fine line. I love that it took it to the extra level. I love that, you know, ego was in it, and they explained that.
Anything with Kurt Russell, I am all for it. That dude is my hero.
First part of the movie. Once again, I'm not going to spoil it, but if you're a fan of Kurt Russell classic, see this movie. I was blown away by what they did, with how they did it. You know,
he's the best.
And it just it feels like within the second movie. I mean, halfway of the first movie, I feel like they hit their stride.
Mm.
And now, like the second movie, they're like running at a full sprint about how good they are at this. You know?
It's not like it doesn't do anything amazing, but it takes everything that the first movie built on, all the fun and like the joy of it, and it just keeps it going. But I would say a more brisk pace.
Yeah.
Because it was long, but it didn't feel like it, you know?
That's the mark of a good movie.
Yeah.
I did not, you know, it didn't do the check my time. You know, test.
It's good when you come out of it and you just want to know more about the universe.
Exactly.
I wanted to see more about what was the deal with, you know, spoiler alert, Stallone is in the movie.
Everybody knew that anyways.
Yeah. If you didn't know that, you
except
didn't watch
for the guy who sat in front of me like, why is Stallone in this movie?
I'm a space cop. I know that sounds terrible.
Yeah.
I apologize to everyone.
He sounds just like him if he had a stroke.
Oh, so bad.
So anyway, Guardians of the Galaxy Part 2, yes. Good movie. You're hanging out with us in a part of a live comic book store, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to be hearing noises, but that's perfectly fine. We openly admit that we love that. Yeah. So it's perfectly cool.
Yeah.
All right. So we say we do our story. My story for today right here.
Speaking of Marvel Universe.
We are our, like, you know, Marvel Universe. Deadpool 2.
Little indie flick.
You may have
out.
Heard of Deadpool. You know, kind of a wacky little comedy, speaking of comedy and such.
Made like $30 at the box office.
About 35.
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah, you know.
Little indie darling.
You know, Ryan Reynolds could eat lunch that week, so we're very happy.
He could feed his wife.
Feed his wife and his abs.
Yes.
Did I tell you, when we went to go see Deadpool, we had two women sitting behind us who were there with their boyfriends.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, obviously, what Deadpool is. My wife, God bless her, knows who Deadpool is. But the woman behind us had no idea what this movie was about. She goes, oh, my God, I'm just here because, like, Ryan Reynolds is, like, so hot.
Oh, Dreamboat.
And I want to see him.
Dreamboat.
Halfway through, she got up and left. She was so disgusted.
Oh, she stuck it out.
It was after the pegging scene. Mm. But it was hysterical. That
was the turning moment where you're like, yeah, this is a great movie.
I've never seen this in a movie before that I've seen in a movie theater. But T.J. Miller is likely to have a bigger role.
The very funny T.J. Miller, Silicon Valley.
Tell him more who T.J. Miller is.
Oh, good. He's a storied career here. Stand-up comedian who made his way into TV and film. He's mm-hmm. on Silicon Valley right now, running mm-hmm. on HBO. Mm-hmm. They're in season 4 right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
He's got a comedy special on HBO coming out later this month. He's in everything. I remember I first saw him in Cloverfield. Did you ever see Cloverfield?
I did see Cloverfield.
Yeah, he played the guy who's on the camera the whole time.
Oh, okay.
He was doing the witty commentary.
He's got this wry, quirky, dry wit.
Yeah,
it's all in his delivery that makes him really fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
I agree. I completely agree.
Yeah,
he's very unique, and his voice is really good too. He does a lot of voiceover work.
He, let's see here. It says while a lot of the recent news about Deadpool 2 has focused on the casting of Josh Brolin as Cable. There's more going on behind the scenes as the film goes into production, and it looks like we can expect an increase in the kind of savage and brutal insults dished up by bartender Weasel. He plays Weasel. He was the guy who said, you know, it looks like a meatloaf.
Like an avocado.
Avocado making sex to an angrier avocado.
If you watch Silicon Valley, he does that on that as well. I think that's like his thing. It's like his go-to. He's just like a king of just like weird insults.
Okay, cool.
He just berates people.
Well, which we appreciate here.
Yeah.
At
why
Super
not?
Action Smash.
Down to T.J. Miller, comment, berate us.
There's a comment. Well, there's a comment from Miller. It goes, Marvel will cut off my tongue if I tell you. But let me just tell you that the second installment will have even more weasel-liciousness. So.
That's what you want.
It'll be even more weasel-licious.
That's what you need.
Deadpool 2 coming out June 1st, 2018.
Aww.
Yeah.
Got everybody's hopes up for 2 seconds thinking Deadpool 2 is coming out in a couple weeks.
2018 is like the year of every superhero thing ever in the history of mankind.
Wow.
I do not want to be hit by a car. I want to be alive during this. I want to be at least 2021. Actually, no, 2050 is when I want to live to.
If you go by Marvel standards, they'll still be cranking out Avenger movies by then.
Pretty much. Well, after the phases. I mean, there's like, you know, after Infinity War, it all kind of resets.
Yeah, probably. They'll probably just go with all different people.
Well, they have to because, I mean, from what I understand, and some semi-minor spoiler, in Infinity War, people are going to die.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of death.
Yeah.
So be prepared for that.
That's what Thanos does. He's good at it.
Well, Thanos is trying to court death.
Yeah.
And that's the big thing. And death is personified as apparently a hot chick. So he wants to kill everybody.
There you go.
Yeah. So.
Who knew?
Yeah. So, you know, what is it about T.J. Miller that you think is going to help? You know, I think he kind of needs that sounding board, right?
Yeah. It helps, I think, with the audience because then they have someone to relate to when all the weirdness is going on.
Right.
Because
right.
he's the normal guy in the scenario, you know? He's the one making the commentary on like, oh, wow, this is nuts. You're killing yourself.
He's the conduit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the filter for Deadpool to allow himself to be as absurd as he is. You know?
Right. And Al, you know, his roommate, is just more angry than he is, you know? So in the comic book, Al is actually, it's in a little more detail, is that he is actually holding her hostage.
Oh.
In the comic book.
And
they develop
that.
This weird symbiotic relationship because she's blind and old and doesn't care anymore. and he is holding her hostage.
Well,
and
there you go.
So they kind of glossed over that, you know, in the actual movie part.
It's fine.
It's fine.
Yeah, y'all made it.
So once again, we are a Super Action Smash. We're on Facebook Live for the Raw version. If you're listening on the audio podcast, go to facebooklive.com/happysaturdays for now.
For now.
Because that's when we broadcast live. If you want to check out the YouTube version, right now it's youtube.com/Steve Strangio. Strangio. Steve Strangio.
Whoa,
you can go there. And maybe eventually we'll have a Super Action Smash YouTube channel, depending on, you know. And in the post show, we'll be talking more about what the hell's been going on with that. Because I got stories.
Oh, got the deets.
If you want to comment during the show, any comments so far?
Nope, nothing. Nobody's watching.
Nobody cares.
So I'm the only one watching.
Moving on. Charlie's Angels reboot, ladies and gentlemen.
Because we need it.
You know, because, you know, after the second one, you really needed more.
I need more.
I didn't know those characters enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want
yeah.
a real deep dive. Give me like a 6-hour epic.
You could do that. Like a Lord of the Rings style.
2 hours on each person.
Walking trees version.
I need it.
2019 is when Charlie's Angels reboot is coming.
Skipping the whole 2018. 2018's too busy.
Yeah. Well, there's too many superheroes. That's
too many superheroes. Yeah, yeah. They're kind of like superheroes, Charlie's Angels.
Some people didn't like. I liked the first two movies.
Yeah?
I liked them because they were so. You know me. I love anything that's like.
What do you not like?
There's a lot of stuff I don't like, and I don't talk about it. So if you don't hear me talking about it, then you know I don't like it. But I've always promised myself that during this show, I would focus on the stuff that I like. All right, so I noticed, too, also, when I had a small minor thing of someone I spoke about on the show, and I thought maybe I insulted this person, and I didn't mean to. James Cameron came to my house and said, hey,
our good pal Jimmy
I'll make as many avatars as I want. And then he dropped a blue monkey on my porch.
Oh, you should keep that.
I should.
That's probably valuable.
It might have been Sigourney Weaver, for all I know.
Wow.
Who I've met, by the way.
Oh.
Yes. No. Quick tangent?
Sure.
Tangent alert.
Wah, wah, wah.
I was at the Rockefeller Center.
Okay.
And Sigourney Weaver was a guest on the Letterman show at the time.
Did she walk in her loader mech?
No! Get away from her, you bitch!
I thought that's how she walked everywhere.
Everywhere.
I just assumed.
Well, Zool sometimes helps her out.
Oh, true. Yeah.
And we were on the lower level, and she was walking towards me, and I was walking towards her. And it was like one of those moments where you're like, crap, Sigourney Weaver. What? I gotta say something. I just can't walk right past her.
Potato.
Exactly. Potato. And just like walk away. No, I said, I walked towards her. I said, I really enjoy your work. And she said, thank you.
That was it.
That was the whole conversation. So, you know, you don't want to like...
She's a good lady.
She seemed like a nice person. Very tall. I'm very tall. She was like...
Even taller.
Eye level with me.
She's 10 foot. She's Most people don't know about Sigourney.
Well, when she's... Well, she's the blue monkey. She's really big.
She's on her knees in every scene. They put fake little shoes on her
fake
knees.
Fake little shoes. And she's like,
she walks around.
That's why she walks like that.
She's 8'9".
Exactly. Plans are still afoot at Sony Pictures for a big screen remake, reboot, / of Charlie's Angels. It's been known for some time that Elizabeth Banks was set to direct the movie. Her second feature behind the camera following Pitch Perfect 2, which makes perfect sense. Pitch Perfect 2, Charlie's Angels. It's a natural progression.
They should just have the same cast, honestly.
They should.
It would work.
It would work a lot better.
Yeah.
Rebel Wilson as the Farrah Fawcett role.
Be amazing.
She already has the hair.
Do it.
We learn the film is zeroing in on Janelle Monáe to take one of the lead roles in the movie. Monáe had a sizable hit recently with the excellent Hidden Figures.
Yeah.
You may have seen that one. Sony is said to be targeting a release date of June 7th, 2019, but that hasn't been officially announced.
Yes, they're trying for another summer blockbuster.
Well, you know what I liked about the Charlie's Angels movies? I mean, obviously Bill Murray was awesome in the first one.
Everything
and
Bill Murray does.
It was a disguised Hong Kong action movie.
Yeah.
Even the second one, which was like so beyond over the top, it was just crazy. I think that's where they lost a few people. But with me, when you go as far over the top as possible, I'm in. Because I know it's an action-adventure movie. They're not sitting in a coffee shop talking about their feelings. You know?
What?
Yeah, Demi Moore was in the second one, and she played like a renegade angel.
Yeah.
So it kind of like expanded the mythos of the whole Charlie's Angels thing.
You just want more.
I want more. I want to push it as much as possible.
Go as far as they can.
Did you, I mean, do you have any thoughts about the whole Charlie's Angels thing?
You know, it was interesting. I mean, they lost me in the second one. The first one was, it was watchable for sure. I mean, anything with Bill Murray, I always check out. Big Lucy Liu fan, so it was around the time she was doing a lot of cool stuff. So I was like, yeah, I'll watch that.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never really been a huge fan of Drew Barrymore. in all
really?
Honesty.
Yeah, just, really?
I've never liked her. I know that's
tell
like
me
a
why.
Thing. I just, I don't know. I just, her performances have never clicked with me.
Wedding just, Singer?
Okay, like, she, I'll give her the credit that is due to her.
Okay.
She has had good performances.
Okay.
But
okay.
to me, I don't know. I just, something about her.
Is it like, maybe she reminds you of a girlfriend, maybe from your past? Who maybe
no,
hurt
nobody
and
loves
spurned
me,
you?
So it's hard to.
Taylor loves you.
That's true. That's
yes.
it. That's it. But she doesn't remind me of Drew Barrymore.
Thank God.
Yeah, right?
Otherwise you would hate her.
Yeah.
And you love her.
And then we have a comment here that says, Wayne thinks you should play Bosley.
Oh, me?
Yeah. Go
Who's
for
him?
It.
Oh, Wayne Thoden. Yeah,
Wayne
my,
Thoden.
My good pal Wayne, yeah. Wayne, that's an awesome compliment. Thank you. I would so be into playing Bosley. That'd be awesome.
Angels!
Well, the whole thing...
I know he does. Angels!
They expanded the whole Bosley clan in the second one because they explained why, you know, Bosley was very different. I don't have to explain why if you've seen the second movie. The whole Bosley family existed. So there was like Bosley from the TV series and then Bill Murray. And then, you know, so I would, if I was like one of like the lost Bosley brother, that'd be
it's
good.
It's like James Bond, right? It's like a, it's just like a moniker they take.
Well, James Bond, they just recast him 10,000 times. Rest in peace, Roger Moore, by the way.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sad news.
So,
sorry, break that. If you haven't heard.
If you haven't heard.
sorry to break it so nonchalant.
That's how we broke. Yeah. Roger Moore died.
Oh, sorry, Roger Moore. Jeez.
One of the classic James Bonds, by the way. So salute to you. A salute. I wonder how I would play Bosley. What do you, Wayne, what do you think I should play Bosley as? What do you think I should play Bosley? Is he like kind of like a guy who dresses like this? You know, maybe he's like the fanboy Bosley, you know, the one that he doesn't. Bosley always dressed in like fine suits and stuff, but the whole thing about Bosley was that he was always accompanying them on their missions. And he had to improvise.
Like a tourist Bosley.
Yeah, you know.
Really low-key undercover.
I think he's kind of assuming that I may look similar to Bosley in the classic TV series.
I can see it.
So I got, you know, got the hair, you know. But I'm owning it. This is 20 more pounds losing, this hair comes off.
Yeah?
I'm going straight like buzz cut.
Whoa.
Just buzzed.
Like Jason Statham.
Jason Statham look. You know, when I was watching Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, and Chris Pratt, I mean, he lost about 60 pounds.
Yeah.
And his entire demeanor changed. I've always been kind of like, you know, jumping around crazy to begin with, but I'd be down for that, you know. So listen, if you want to cast me, I'm available. You know. No
I'll be your Bosley.
Who would you play?
# be your Bosley.
Would you want to be like an angel?
I want to be an angel.
I knew you'd want to
be an angel.
I knew you'd want to be an angel.
Do it. Give it to me.
Now, would you be a guy angel or would you cross-dress?
Oh, I'll do it all. Why not? I'll be like I'll be an animal. I don't even care. Just like running around. Do CG and I'll voice over it.
You could be like a little like happy puppy angel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like an actual party. Angel. It'll be Charlie's Angels. We'll do it'll be a heaven and hell.
Mm-hmm.
Actual angels.
So they never actually explored that. You know, why are they called angels? Did you ever think about that?
Because they save people.
Oh. I guess because they were hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like angels.
Their angels are hot.
Hot like angels.
So there you go. Charlie's Angels reboot due June 7th. That's a tentative date. June 7th, 2019. Mm-hmm. So mark that on your calendars and tell all of your friends about that.
Tell every person you know.
You're watching Super Action Smash once
what?
Again. My name is Steve Strangio. That
Jason
guy,
Brown.
Jason Brown. We're coming to you live from Time Warp Comics and Games.
Yes, we are.
Where? What town is this?
Cedar Grove.
Cedar Grove, New Jersey. You may say to yourself, "Is there a cedar? Are there groves of cedar there?
Somewhere.
Maybe somewhere out there there might be.
Yeah, I can see trees.
There are trees out there. But tree grove didn't roll off the tongue.
Yeah." You had to pick a specific kind of tree.
Giuseppe's Pizza next door. I got to tell you, I've been Instagramming the pizzas.
Yeah.
Thousands of likes. All right. 100, maybe 10.
Million.
There's a lot of likes.
Millions
they make awesome,
of likes.
Awesome pizza. I love those guys.
That's what we need. We need a pizza on the show.
We need.
So we'll
we
hold
need,
a pizza.
We're just going to hold up pizza during the show.
I'd watch that.
You know what else you want to watch? Justice League Dark.
I did
want to
watch it.
They lost another director, unfortunately.
Very sad.
Just weeks after saying the movie had a take that I love, director Doug Liman has left the project.
He directed the Tom Cruise, Emily Blunt movie, Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah, that was him, yeah.
Very, very cool movie, if you guys have never seen that.
He has a great visual style.
Yeah, which would have worked really well for this, I feel like.
Well, to complicate matters even further, the project, which has been known as Dark Universe for some time, might need a new title because Universal is launching dark universe, which is all
it's whoever gets
monsters.
There first.
Yeah, pretty, well, that's Hollywood, Bill.
Yeah.
Variety broke the news of Lyman's departure, citing his involvement with a film called Chaos Walking, starring Daisy Ridley.
Miss Star Wars herself.
Yeah, so the movie, which focuses on the magical and monstrous DC characters like John Constantine, Zatanna, Swamp Thing, and others. So what else? A Hollywood Reporter mentioned that Stephen King's IT director, Andy... I'm going to say it's an Italian, Muschietti. Some people may say Muschietti, but it's Muschietti.
Machete.
Is a possible... Machete. As a possible candidate to replace Lyman. There's no release date on Justice League Dark. We've been talking about Justice League Dark
for a while
since we started this.
Yeah,
and we were looking forward to it. There's a movie.
Shame. I'm still very looking forward to it. I'm a huge fan of Swamp Thing.
Why?
So the Alan Moore run on Swamp Thing is like my favorite comic run ever.
Yeah,
Alan Moore, obviously a legend.
Of course.
In the comic universe.
If you don't know who Alan Moore is, you probably shouldn't be watching this show.
Or you should be watching and then educate yourself on Alan Moore.
I should be more positive.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, go on.
Anyway, it's just so good. It's like reading poetry, but with Swamp Thing.
Okay.
Which is even cooler.
It's visual poetry. It's poetry.
Yeah.
He knows how to write. He knows how to draw.
It's all of it.
It aspires. I mean, first it's a comic book, but then it aspires to be more, which we appreciate. Much like
it's
Neil Gaiman.
It's so great.
Neil Gaiman has that type of possibility. Yeah.
He gets it.
I get it.
He's the man.
Yeah, Swamp Thing is an acquired taste. I mean, if you want to see a superhero comic book, don't buy Swamp Thing because it's more than that.
Yeah.
You know,
he's a tortured dude.
You know, he's been through a lot.
Which I guess you could say a lot of comic book people have.
Most of
it's born out of tragedy, I feel like.
Shouldn't it be like a happy superhero?
Maybe.
You know, he's just happy. Like Booster Gold. Be more about Booster Gold. He's just so stoked to be...
Where's that Booster Gold movie?
Well, they're trying to make one.
I know. We've talked about it before. Check out other episodes of Super Action Smash. We've talked about Booster Gold before.
Go into the catalog.
Check our archives. Episode 372.
This is our 10th year anniversary, in case you're wondering. It's our 10th year anniversary.
It could be.
If you're listening on the podcast, I shook my head no.
Did you see the Justice League Dark animated film? Because they released one a couple months ago.
I know they did. I feel like I have, and I didn't remember.
It was super cool. If anyone gets a chance to check it out.
Where am I right now?
Who am I?
But yeah, here's really good.
If you want a similar taste of what hopefully I think the feature film is going to be,
yeah.
That's definitely something you could check out. It's a good recommendation. It gets you set into the universe, and it is dark. It's more mature because of the people you have to deal with.
I think it's R-rated, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It is R-rated. It does have a lot of violence in it, but that's kind of hand-in-hand with the cast that makes up the Justice League Dark.
If you're going to call something Justice League Dark, you better not be PG.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
And Zatanna, I think, is a character that really needs...
She's really underused.
You know, originally they had her as, like, sort of a magician's assistant.
Yeah.
With a stupid little top hat and a leotard and like, you know, 1980s, you know, heels. And it didn't really work, but I think they've been kind of rebooting her as often as possible.
She's had a couple good runs recently, and that she's a really powerful, actual mage. So it's like...
Yeah.
I don't know. There's definitely something to mine there, you know? I just don't see why they keep waiting so long on this, because something like this comes out, like Justice League Dark, that's just more potential for spin-offs. Because if they like the ensemble, why wouldn't you want to see, you know, like, oh, let's give a Constantine feature, let's give a Swamp Thing feature.
I have a theory.
Yeah, go for it. Hit me. Hit me with the theories.
You know how Watchmen came out, and it was way ahead of its time, and some people, it was very polarizing, some people liked it and some people hated it. It came out way too soon.
I believe that, yeah. I'll go with that.
If Watchmen came out now, people would get it. Because you reach an apex. Like, after Infinity War, as far as we're concerned, it's going to all change. You know, and then people are going to accept, you know, superhero stuff. People are going to accept the fact that I want to see something different now.
Yeah. Not to mention technology gets exponentially better, too.
Gets better and better.
Every year, the amount you're able to do is better for comics, because you can do all the crazy space aliens and stuff. Especially that's a lot of things in the DC universe, you see. They tend to lean more towards, like, the alien side of everything.
The aliens and gods.
Yeah, whereas Marvel keeps, I feel like, more Earth-grounded.
Even though there were aliens and gods in Marvel, they're more...
I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy, obviously, space.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know.
Unless it's specific.
Look at the number one superhero from DC, Superman, who's literally an alien.
Mm-hmm.
So.
There you go. Truth, justice, and American way, but he's still an alien.
Yeah.
You know, watching Batman v Superman again, and, you know.
13th time, right?
13th time. So after the fifth time, I started liking it. Whenever Martha thing, I just fast forward to the Martha thing and then go on. So you know exactly how much you want to see a movie. Then you know. Didn't Batman know that Wonder Woman was Wonder Woman?
Has to, right?
Because like there's
Batman
a scene where he turns to Superman and Superman turns to him. It's like, you know, I thought it was you. I thought she was with you. Didn't he already know that she was Wonder Woman, or did she know her? Did he know her as Diana Prince? If you have an answer, leave a comment.
Well.
And explain this to me, because I'm confused.
Everyone can go see Wonder Woman very soon.
In movies?
Yeah, because it's coming out very soon. And
if you're listening to this after it came out, then go and see it
just
again.
Go see it now.
Yeah, you probably own it. Yeah.
I don't know if you saw this. They screened it recently for critics. They were able to say a quick couple blurbs on Twitter.
I wasn't there.
Overwhelmingly positive responses.
Oh, good.
Which is awesome, because we've talked about Wonder Woman a lot before on the show.
Incessantly.
Yeah, and how we talk, where we feel like in order for DC to kind of, you know, establish itself, it needs to be good.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's really refreshing to hear that apparently it is. So I'm very excited.
All right, good. They need their start.
I know, right? They they need their Iron Man. You said that before.
They need their Iron Man, yeah. And they need to give us money for helping them.
Yeah.
So anyway.
All of your ticket sales are because of us.
Justice League Dark, no release date.
No release date.
We do want to see it. Guillermo del Toro was supposed to be in charge.
I think he still might be producing it.
Maybe. Nothing doesn't mention anything here about that.
Yeah.
But
we'll find out. We'll find out more as the story develops.
Yeah. But good for you, Daisy.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Stealing directors.
Big fan of Mel Brooks, are you?
I do like Mel Brooks.
We're both fans of Mel Brooks.
Whoa.
Spaceballs 2.
Can you believe that?
They're talking about it.
That's a thing you thought you'd never say, right?
Well, after Spaceballs 1, they said Spaceballs 2, The Search for More Money. It was supposed to come out, but it didn't.
Great subtitle.
There was a scene where writer-director Brooks showed off merchandise in the inevitable sequel, Spaceballs 2, The Search for More Money. An actual sequel of the film never came to pass.
Yeah.
But in the three decades since Spaceballs' release... rumors have occasionally surfaced that one might still be in the works. Now, they were doing a screening of Young Frankenstein.
Mm-hmm.
And Mel Brooks, who I think is like 175 by now.
He's
and
going.
Still going strong.
Energizer bunny, that guy.
Exactly. I think he's in his 90s by now.
Dude doesn't quit.
And he's, you know, he has a reason to wake up. The man always works. He does things. You know?
Yeah.
There was a quote of him actually saying, MGM is slightly interested in doing it because of Star Wars Rogue One and The Force Awakens and the new Star Wars Explosion.
It is
a
time.
See what I'm saying? It's all about timing.
Yeah, it is ripe.
He said, so they think maybe, so we're talking, who knows. So, all right, so Spaceballs.
Yeah.
All right. I've always made it a point to never put down things on this show.
You're going to say you don't like Spaceballs?
I liked Spaceballs.
Oh my God. I don't care for Spaceballs. I'm going to get killed for
really?
Saying this.
Okay, I'm on the fence about Spaceballs.
I'm a huge Mel Brooks fan.
I'm a Mel Brooks purist.
Spaceballs doesn't do it for me. Rick Moranis, love the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Everything he's done is incredible.
Yeah.
I really appreciate Spaceballs.
I do, me too.
But I don't know.
We have a lot of respect for Mel Brooks. I'll say that right now.
I never thought it was as funny as everyone else thought it was.
That's what I'm saying. If you experienced Blazing Saddles... If you experience History of the World Part 1, if you experience High Anxiety, all of these pure, just genius movies. But then it kind of like switched in the 80s, and it wasn't, maybe we just need to have more of a hardcore Mel Brooks experience. And you couldn't really do that with Spaceballs.
Honestly,
because,
I might need to just see it again. Yeah. It's been a really long time since I've seen it, in all honesty. It's been a while.
I'm going to give it a shot. Because there are moments of brilliance, like in the middle... Where, like, they're watching, you know, the movie, and then they have to catch up, and there's, like, you know, things, moments of brilliance in there. And then there were some jokes that just hit you over the head like a sledgehammer,
mm-hmm.
you know, like Comb the Desert, you know, which was a legendary, like, it's almost like Martha in its own way, you know. But, okay, we always say, we're a couple of guys in a comic book store, you know, giving our comments. And we say this with reverence and with respect, okay?
Yeah.
If you love Spaceballs, God bless you.
Yeah, please, if you want to comment and let us know
why you
love
Spaceballs
amazing to you,
yeah.
I'm thrilled to hear it, honestly.
Yeah.
That's part of the reason why I think we do this show, is that we want to engage with fans.
Right. Yeah. And we want to engage also with filmmakers, you know. Even if Mel Brooks, if you're watching this, you want to leave a comment, please do.
Watching it from your space-time capsule where you magically mm-hmm. stay young forever.
Yep. He goes through the rabbit hole. I'm watching 11/22/63 right now.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I mean, Stephen King turned into an Amazon show. Oh, actually, Hulu show.
Hulu, yeah.
Yeah, it's on Hulu. It's pretty awesome.
What's your favorite Mel Brooks film?
Blazing Saddles.
Blazing Saddles?
Blazing Saddles, hands down, Blazing Saddles. Because that was, I actually went to go see it. My parents actually took me to see that when I was a young boy, and that probably shouldn't have happened.
No,
it
was
But it was the first time that I realized that you can break the fourth wall.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of it, spoilers. But at the end, of, when they break through,
20 years spoilers.
They pull far away, and it's on a movie set, yeah. And then it just they just break through every other movie that's filming on the lot, and then they ended up at a movie theater. And I was like, as a kid, my mind was blown away by that could actually happen.
Yeah.
And there was everything in the history of that movie. It was insane, you know, how it got made, and it was written much the way that your show of shows was written, where Mel Brooks is from. If you watch My Favorite Year, you know, which was another Mel Brooks-ish movie, which is the story of Mel Brooks when he was working on your show of shows with Sid Caesar, which was the Saturday Night Live of its time. He did I went all over the place on that one. You know, Blazing Saddles was written by committee, you know, Richard Pryor and a whole group of people. And it's an amazing, amazing film. And the fact that it even got made is brilliant. You know, and it broke so many boundaries. So without a doubt, Blazing Saddles, very close second, is History of the World Part 1. If you want to make a Part 2, come on, History of the World Part 2. I think the time is now for an R-rated comedy like that.
Yeah,
so,
right.
And you know, Mel Brooks' style is so broad-stroked, but you got to imagine where he came from, you know, in that world. So, and Spaceballs, and then, like, Men in Tights.
I bet you could never guess my favorite Mel Brooks film.
Your favorite Mel Brooks film...
You're not gonna guess it. Nobody will guess it.
Young Frankenstein.
Nope. That's it's very high.
Young Frankenstein is very close third, by the way. So.
That's like my number two.
I don't know. What is it?
I'll never get it.
I'm not even going to try.
Not even going to try. Nobody can get it. Dracula, Dead and Loving It.
Really?
Starring Leslie Nielsen.
Wow.
I adore that movie.
It's because you're a Dracula.
Because I'm half vampire, half werewolf.
Wow, what do you like about that movie?
Leslie Nielsen.
Okay.
No, I'm a huge Leslie Nielsen fan. Okay. I grew up watching all of his movies. I was so just like enamored with him. I thought he was so funny.
Yeah.
And then just seeing that movie, I've always skewed towards the horror on most things. That's kind of just how I grew up. I grew up watching all
kinds
of...
You need to be in a horror movie.
I am a horror movie.
Oh, come on. So was it just that they finally wanted to... That was really kind of a parody of the Dracula movie with... what's his face?
The Bram Stoker one. Yeah. Which I really like that movie as well. Was starring Gary Oldman,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who you think is...
I'm blocking it out because my wife loves Gary Oldman, and I keep teasing her because, well, it's Tim Roth.
Yeah.
Tim Roth and Gary Oldman, to me, are very similar. Tell the rest of it.
My favorite scene...
She hates that. And I love you, honey. I love you very much, but still.
Favorite scene is Dracula, Dead and Loving It. They're in the crypt, and they're going to stake... Jonathan's about to stake the vampire, and Mel Brooks is playing... He's playing Van Helsing in that film, and he's telling him, he's like, you just gotta stake it, and then Mel Brooks kind of hides behind a pillar, and it's very subtle, and then Jonathan goes to hammer the stake into the vampire, and there's just blood, just torrents and torrents of blood.
It's classic comedy. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, every time he hits him, there's more. He's like, oh, he must have just eaten, you have to do it, and terrible accent that Mel Brooks has, great.
Yeah. Intentionally, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, maybe I need to re-see that now. Oh. I did actually see that in the movie theater.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
And also, Life Stinks was a valiant effort, I think, on his part.
I didn't see it.
That was a Mel Brooks movie that was very bittersweet at times, and I think he wanted to create something that was funny and charming, you know. So, I mean, you know, come on. Like I said, we want to be honest here. Yeah. And this is a good cross section of what people think about movies, I think. So anyway, so that's it. So that's. That would be Spaceballs 2, hopefully coming to a theater near you as soon as possible.
Spaceballs 2, theater near you.
Theater near you. Dark Universe, ladies and gentlemen. Dark Universe is something we spoke about in this show and previous shows. So Universal has confirmed that Dark Universe is going to happen. If you don't know what Dark Universe is, so with The Mummy, headlined by Tom Cruise, it's going to kickstart Universal's planned classic monster cinematic universe.
Yeah, they're redoing all the old monsters.
All the old monsters, but like in a new way. Because
yes.
Like the mummy is a woman this time. Because it's Tom Cruise.
Looks good.
He must have fought a mummy woman.
She looks really cool.
Only now it has a new name. By the power of the press release, it's going to be called The Dark Universe. So it will be over.
Sorry, DC.
Sorry, guys. Oops. Dark Universe was supposed to be... The other one, which I'm blanking on.
Justice League Dark.
Justice League Dark, but now they can't do that because Universal's like, hey, we got monsters. Screw you.
Look at our monsters.
The Dark Universe will be overseen by The Mummy director Alex Kurtzman, Fast and the Furious producer and writer Chris Morgan, writer and director Christopher McQuarrie, who is currently shooting Mission Impossible 6 right now, and writer-producer David Koepp from Jurassic Park. The Dark Universe will have an awesome logo accompanied by a Danny Elfman piece of music. So they're trying to recreate what the MCU is doing, yeah, only with all the monsters. So Universal has also confirmed that Bride of Frankenstein,
it's the next one,
is heading into a production shortly. Release date of February 14th. It's going to be a romantic movie. 2019 has been confirmed for the project as well. Johnny Depp wants to play the Invisible Man in the universe. And Javier Bardem is going to be Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, and then Russell Crowe.
Is going to play Russell Crowe.
Yeah, he's in it as well. He's in the new Mummy, but he's also playing Cover Your Ears if anyone cares about super, super mega spoilies.
Spoilers, go.
Russell Crowe is playing Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde.
And we're back. All right, so that'll be interesting.
Yeah. It's cool. And then what I want to know is, so they're doing the classic, you know, Universal monsters.
They've had this for so damn long.
Are they going to do Creature from the Black Lagoon? Are they going to reboot the Wolfman? Because they tried that. They tried Wolfman a couple years ago.
And in a way, it wasn't like...
Del Toro did it.
Yeah. It was like, you know, because he has the face. He has like the stone face, which worked perfectly for that. Wasn't Van Helsing also part of that world as well?
I think so, yeah.
And that was an awesome movie.
That movie was crazy.
That was super action-adventure, and they should, you know.
That was nuts.
But I think they want to, like, you know, create, they want to start from where they are right now.
Yeah.
And maybe Tom Cruise was like, you know, I go first. I go first in line. Everybody follows me.
I love that he's the star of the Mummy, even though he's not the Mummy.
Good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, good point.
When, poor Brendan Fraser. Come on.
Yeah, he really needs a job.
He could have been.
Brendan's available.
He could have been. He's a mummy. I want that mummy.
He's working
I
here.
Like that franchise.
That was good. He was, you know, one of my favorite films is Blast from the Past.
Oh, yeah.
And I always watch
it. It's a classic.
Because I think I identify with it for some reason. There's a moment where, you know, his parents are dancing and, like, he's sitting there as a little boy watching it and it reminded me of my parents. So I kind of like, and I'm an only child. So it'll kind of like, plus I lived in a basement. So,
I lived chained to
a basement in the corner, and they toss me a cracker every Tuesday. But I'm kidding, or am I? It's Fraser is a brilliant actor, you know, and it's like a Hollywood man. They eat you up and they spit you out.
Yeah,
you know. So maybe there's something happening, but it's all about timing. It's all about forming a universe and all about making money.
Yeah,
you know,
spooky monsters.
How do you feel they're going to approach? Because we've seen the trailers for The Mummy.
Yeah.
It's super action adventure. It's super action smash.
It is.
And it feels like it's going to be, you know, a rollicking adventure. So horror. Remember I spoke about horror adventure? Why isn't there a horror adventure? And I think this is what's happening.
I think it's going to try and, yeah. Because The Mummy definitely, this new one at least, the actual Mummy, there's a lot of very creepy imagery in the trailer and stuff. And you can see some extended trailers of it.
Yeah.
It definitely looks like they're trying to push that, like, this is a kind of scary adventure film, which I would like more of, honestly.
Army of Darkness proves that, you know, you can
Give me the spooks, give me the fun.
Much like how Star Wars really isn't a science fiction movie, it's more of an adventure movie.
Sci-fi adventure.
With sci-fi elements.
Because it's in space.
It was in space.
Space.
No one can hear you scream in space. 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 This, at least, they're going to take horror and elevate it to adventure. And we need more of that.
Yeah.
You know, because
I'm for it.
I'm for it. I'm not against it. I'm for it.
Vote yes on horror adventure.
That's right, pal. You should do it.
Your local primary.
Local primary. Who are they fighting against now? Is it Hillary? No, it's horror.
Right in horror.
So maybe we could use horror as a president. I'm not going to go into it and stop it. Don't even touch it. No, it's a minefield.
Frankenstein for president.
That's right. So that's basically it, guys. So, yeah, there you go. So, super action smash. The comments were kind of light, but hey, who cares?
Nobody watched, but we're not, you know, it's fine.
So that's it, guys. My name is Steve Strangio. Thanks for hanging out with this guy.
Jason Brown.
Coming to you live from Cedar Grove, Time Warp Comics and Games. Ask for us by name, and then we'll be there.
We'll show up. Keep us in the box in the back. Crawl out of it. Sleep on a pile of comics.
Okay.